I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny. We can't call it top star free bowling.
We are back.
We are back.
Dude.
All right, see everyone next week.
Dude, holy shit. What the fuck was that?
I have no idea where that came from. I just like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's see how far I can go. Like most things in my life, fuck it. Let's see how far I can go.
God damn, that is a hell of a way to bring us back.
So if the people didn't already know, tell them where they are, Sebastian.
Where they are? How the fuck should I know?
Oh, well, they're here right now with us, listening to Freeboarding.
Oh, I thought you meant like a physical location.
Oh, no, they can be in fucking prison for all I care. But,
as they're listening to us.
But right now, wherever you are, escape for a second with me and Sebastian and come with us on a journey with Freeboarding.
There you go. And we back. That's how we do.
I've almost finished my first beer, by the way. I have four more, so I'll be all right.
So, I just kind of want to explain the absence.
I got bored of the UK and went to LA. Boom.
There you go.
Boom.
We hung out. We fucked shit up. We went to fucking... did Pokemon at Universal Studios. We hit San Diego hard.
San Diego, like... let's just say... Where did it go? Del Perio's, was it called?
Del Perio's.
For the steak?
Oh, I think... Yeah, I don't remember the name of the restaurant.
There is a steakhouse, people, connected to the Intercontinental Holiday Inn Hotel. So you've got the Midway, and you've got the statue on the one side. If you can't see the statue, you're on the side of the hotel where we were staying. There's a steakhouse connected to that hotel. Let me just say, people, don't order a starter, don't order sides, just get the fucking 86-ounce porterhouse steak and send yourselves on a journey.
God damn, that is most ASMR, and it felt right.
It was fucking delicious.
It was so good.
We don't season steaks in this country. I'm sorry for when you come over in September. Spoiler alert, by the way. It'll be Sebastian fucking us up in September. But
2 weeks. Two weeks, motherfuckers. We just locked that shit down today.
Well, we won't be able to work for 3 weeks. Because I thought,
oh shit, you're right.
I thought, so fuck it. If you're coming to the UK, I'll come to LA first and I'll fly with you to the UK. As you do.
Well, there you go.
As you do.
As one does, yes.
As one does. I need to turn my gain down. I'm clipping. I'm clipping you guys. I'm sorry. I'm hurting eardrums.
Oh, no.
God damn it, Ed. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, did well, you...
But one of the things that... go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, how was me coming to visit you? Did you have fun?
Honestly, man, it was... I didn't know... Like, it's going to sound sappy as shit, but I didn't know how much I needed you around at that specific moment in time.
Mate, I'm coming back. I'm going to leave everything on as long as it can last. Probably not long because my thing's only on 2 blobs. I'm coming back.
2 blobs. No, but like, it's kind of how you were saying, you know, you came out here to kind of get away from the UK and get away from everything. Just clear your mind and shit. But like, obviously, I'm still out here and I'm still in it and shit. But like, hanging out with you was it was just a great and much needed escape. You know, it's just me, a broski, a couple drinks, walking around, seeing some shit, doing some shit. You know, it was very much needed.
Oh, we did some shit.
Oh, we did some shit. Yeah,
we did each other. No, as much as people want to see that happen, that's I mean, if you know where to go for that shit, you know, it's only $5. But if you don't know where to go, then I don't know. Maybe listen to episode 1 of the podcast. There's a lot of feet involved. Have you realized that that's what OnlyFans has become now? Feet?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
weird.
I
don't like feet.
I mean,
I could take them.
Yeah, I mean, to each their own. You know, you're into what you're into, but like, I mean, I just don't get it. That's just me.
It's like whenever
I genuinely would love to meet someone who's really into feet and have them explain to me why.
What, you mean like Ted Bundy or John Wayne Gacy or something?
No, like ideally someone a little more sane.
Oh, no, that they don't exist.
Like Quentin Tarantino.
I know this man went feral. I mean feral. When Elizabeth Olsen walked into the Illuminati shoeless and started ripping apart the fake Avengers.
It's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
This man was like,
boners.
Not like, I mean, Elizabeth Olsen gives everyone boners anyway, but, you know, Tarantino, like, he found those extra 2 inches that she was looking for. I'll make you forget your kids real quick, bitch.
Right. So, one of the things that you and I did when you were out here is we binged the first half of season 4 of Stranger Things.
Let's explain why first. We were exhausted coming home from San Diego. We woke up that morning and we thought I had fucking COVID.
Yep.
And I literally ruined breakfast. The one thing Sebastian was looking forward to in San Diego was getting tacos from old Mexico.
And we couldn't even find one.
We couldn't
How annoying
find one.
Was that?
Everywhere was doing everything but breakfast tacos or some shit. And I'm just sitting there just going, watching this family look me up and down because I'm sniffling so hard. You couldn't see them because you were facing the wrong way. But I could. Yeah. I could, Sebastian. And they were giving me the eyeballs. Maybe it's because I was too loud.
Jesus.
A lot of people look at me because I'm too loud. But like, I was like, I was trying to hide it. Like, I wanted, like, and when you start sniffling and you think you've got COVID, it's like, shit, I think I need to cough as well. And then we finally got to CVS, and the guy at CVS just took forever. And by the time we got home to Sebastian's humble abode, we were like, fucking Stranger Things came out. Let's just order some grub. I think we ordered 5 guys. And we like, we just binged the shit out of Stranger Things. And honestly, after you walk about 50K in the San Diego Zoo, seeing animals do nothing, well, one or two things, nothing or just walk from point A to point B a lot of times. A lot of animals did that. It's weird. We're like, you know what, fuck it. I just want to sit down and just melt. But there was a lot of standing up and pausing because we were losing our shit.
Oh my God.
And if you haven't watched Stranger Things, the new season, or Stranger Things at all, you can power through the first 3 seasons. I implore you to, because season 4 is so fucking good.
It's amazing. Like, if you haven't seen it and you're listening to this, like, we're going to get into some serious spoilery shit. Because, like,
As I was doing the list today, I felt like there was a way we could talk around the spoilers. That's all I want to say about it, before we get into what we're doing, is that music is a huge part of the new season.
See, here's, like, the thing that I... Because I feel like... I remember it's my turn for a swerve, and I had a swerve, and it's it will involve very much spoilery stuff.
Okay, well...
Because it's...
Okay, Sebastian, take us away.
All right, it's three questions, all right? Okay, question one. Who do you think has the best performance thus far in the show, in season four? One performance.
I thought we were just doing the list. You've curveballed me here. Fuck.
Yeah, that's the...
Shit. Right, okay, best performance. I love Eddie. I love me some Eddie. Not enough of the, like, half of my, why I've chosen my music is, like, it, basically my five songs. Well, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert for today's episode. This is an ode to Eddie, pretty much.
Yeah.
Not enough of these shows set in the 80s actually explore, like, the metal fan base. And it was nice. Like, I don't want to spoil one piece of information because one of my songs is sort of tied into that. But, like, if you know something about Eddie Munson's vest, it's a really nice fucking touch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How about you? Who's your favorite character? Who's your favorite performance?
I should really know
who does. Performs Eddie Munson, but like I don't, because I don't think I've seen him in anything else. But whoever plays Eddie, I feel like I should know. I apologize for not knowing.
Honestly, Eddie for me too.
Ah, oh, fuck shit.
Like he.
Do you know who performs in?
I don't.
Shit. Here we go. IMDb.
Right, but so the reason for me is like he has what I'm calling the Maya Hawke effect. You know how in last season her character is introduced and she kind of stole the show with the way she is. And I feel like that's what Eddie did. Like,
when
it's a show
when
of
she
very
smiles,
established characters.
When she smiles, she looks exactly like her mum, bro.
I know.
It is scary, my dude.
Yeah, I know. But, like, you know, he comes in and he steals... I honestly think he's stolen this season. Like, hands down. Like, his performance is, like, it's all over the place. It's erratic where it needs to be. There's a sensibility and heart where there needs to be. And when this motherfucker is afraid, he is afraid. So, and I definitely agree with you on the, like, lack of metal in the 80s. Because I feel like that's definitely something that you can't ignore. It was so big. It was so influential.
I thought they were going to, like, there was a little bit of me thought... it's where Dustin's character was gonna go. According to IMDb, he's only ever been in he's been in a lot of things, but the only thing of note is Overlord and Game of Thrones for an episode. But his name is Joseph Quinn.
Joseph Quinn. I guess one to, you know, keep an eye on.
I was in Dickensian as well. I heard that was rather good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but yeah, there we go. So, Joseph Quinn, everyone. What was your second question?
Second question. What do you think has been the weakest part of the show of season four?
The weakest part of season four? The California crew. I could take them or leave them. Even if they were in Hawkins, I would feel like they would still be sidelined. What the fuck are they even doing, bro?
I don't know. Like I really don't know.
The only one that actually deserves screen time is my boy Argyle.
He's so fucking funny.
Have you phoned the number on the side of the pizza van? He actually picks up. Yo, bro, Chachos. You want pineapple on your pizza? Pineapple doesn't belong on pizza, you say? Well, I say try before you deny, my dude. But I've loved this guy. Everything I've ever seen him in, it was in
same.
It was in the package as like the stoner character. He's always the stoner character. Unfortunately,
he does it so.
He's the next Sean William Scott, pretty much. This mm-hmm. man is horribly typecast, but he's hilarious in the first season of American Vandal.
Mm-hmm.
As one of the Wayback Bros.
He was in he was in Booksmart. He was like the stoner
Booksmart.
Character
yes.
who got into like MIT or something.
Mm-hmm.
That was so fucking funny.
All I remember from Booksmart is like one of the girls bullies the main girl and says like, "Oh yeah, I'm excellent at hand jobs, but I'm also super smart." And I was just like, "Marry me." Oh, what about you? Again, the California crew was the weakest part for
honestly,
you as well?
Yeah, man. Like, for me, honestly, I feel like in terms of character development, no, what the fuck is... what is Will's older brother's name?
Jonathan,
I feel like his character has taken such a dive.
Oh, 100%.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, goddamn.
They've ruined all of those characters. They've turned Finn Wolfhard into some whiny little bitch. My girlfriend, shut the fuck up, bro. She doesn't even want mm-hmm. you, bro. Like, well, she does want you, but you literally.
I think she just wants
you didn't
too
want her.
Much.
Yeah.
It's not on the same level.
Jonathan, they've forced him into some stoner loser role when he has Nancy mm-hmm. and should just fucking. Like, go back home, bro. Like, your missus is over there. And if you don't, you know... Like, I'm rooting for Steve to get back with Nancy.
Same.
And then we all know the secret with Will. Like, that is not subtle at all.
The worst kept secret.
The worst kept secret. I think they're actually using that as a bit of a red herring, as him being some sort of like upside down spy, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Last, your absolute favorite part.
My absolute favorite
season
part. I think it has to be, just because I noticed it when I was rewatching the series recently,
mm-hmm.
Max's Dear Billy letter.
Okay.
Before most people's favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate that fucking song, which is why we're doing this list.
it's gotten really annoying really fucking fast.
Yeah, it like I've stopped watching TikTok because every other TikTok is
it's
like
everywhere.
I was listening to your first thing you heard.
Shut the entire fuck up.
Yep. It's like, that's great. You were listening to it. No one gave a shit then.
Yeah, literally. Cool. Good for you.
No one gives a shit now.
Nice one.
Great move. Thanks.
Jog on. We can't accept tickets from someone we've officially reviewed, so jog on. Sorry, I was quoting Hot Fuzz before we started recording today, so now my mind is
no
all the Hot Fuzz.
All the Hot Fuzz.
All of the time. You know whose character has dramatically changed in a way that I just want to punch in the fucking face? The non-existent dad from the last three seasons? The main character's dad. What is Nancy's and Mike's last name? Wheeler.
Oh,
the Wheeler dad.
Yeah,
he's just annoying.
Yeah, what the? He's just a dick.
You literally can have no lines for the first three seasons, and then like just have like the most throwaway piece of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to ask where's all the police in this? Shut the fuck up, bro. You've been reading the same newspaper since episode one. How's that crossword going, buddy?
I think he's struggling a little, bro.
But yes. So, oh no, you're favorite episode, a moment. You didn't say episode, you said moment.
So, for me, my favorite moment, which is like a little surprising, but also not really, Vecna's initial reveal.
Okay, we can't spoil that shit.
And it was just like, I was just blown away by the way he looked. Like, you could tell, like, the mix of the, like, the CGI and practical and makeup and wardrobe. Oh, dude, it was just phenomenal. Like, I was blown away. Like, the Freddy Krueger sense of it all too is also really cool.
Well, one thing we can say is that England voices Vecna.
Mm-hmm.
Although, yep. For me, it sounded like Jackie L. Haley.
Yeah,
I remember telling you it sounds like Rose Arch, which isn't a bad thing because didn't Jackie L. Haley play Freddy Krueger in the Englund directed version of Nightmare on Elm Street?
I believe so.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
good catch. But yeah, like I was walking home with a friend over the weekend after seeing the worst movie of all time, Jurassic World Dominion. We could literally have an episode on how bad that movie is. Just people, please steer fucking clear of that absolute shit show of a fucking movie. So we're walking home and my friend goes, you know one thing I don't like about the new season? Is how human-like Vector looks compared to the other baddies. And I'm like, my friend, you said you've had one more episode to watch. Please go home and watch it. Like, he's literally... Are you trying to make me spoil this shit for you, bro? Like, shut the fuck up. Don't ask questions when you've got one more episode to watch. I just started sweating. I was like, oh, fuck. What do I say? What do I do? Just. I'm like the kettle teapot. I'm done. Remove me from the stove. Not that anyone uses a stove to boil a kettle anymore. That's a bit old.
So you mentioned getting off of TikTok because of that fucking song. And that kind of like a good way to transition into what today's episode is about. So the idea of the, Running Up the Hill, is that what it's called?
Running Up That Hill, Kate Bush.
Yeah, so the whole idea of that song is that, you know, hearing your favorite song will essentially help pull you away from Vecna's curse or whatever.
Max needs better taste in music.
Oh, for real. So... today, you and I are going to talk about 5 songs that we think would pull us away from that motherfucker.
Oh, 100%.
So, you want to kick it off?
So, let's just talk about the stipulations.
All right.
Going off what Sebastian just said, we're going to give ourselves 5 songs that would save us from Vecna. But we decided to go a little bit further and put it in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Vecna was like alive today, you know, they'd like, you know, I could listen to anything, literally.
Yeah.
But the like, I thought this would be easier in the '80s.
It was so difficult.
I just want to literally just rattle off some albums for like fans of metal that were in the '80s. Kill 'Em All, Metallica, British Steel, Judas Priest, Rain in Blood, Slayer, Bleach, Nirvana, Under the Sign of the Black Mark, Bathory, Black Metal, Venom, Spinal Tap, about 15 different Sabbath albums, about 2 fucking Misfits albums, a couple of Ministry, a couple of Merciful Fates, a lot of bloody Motley Crue, a lot of bloody fucking Iron Maiden, 2 separate Ozzy Osbourne albums. I was going into this thinking, I picked 5 songs that I could pick that I could use today in about in about 5 minutes. And then I asked you, it's like, wait, did we choose only 80 songs?
Yep.
I was eating dinner watching the last episode of Ozark, also a piece of crock of shite. And I was like, okay, I'll just, you know, I've got 30 minutes before the podcast starts. That was the most stressful 30 minutes of my life, bro. I was like, oh, I'll pick this. No, I'll pick this. There are so many fucking scribbles. I can't even actually see which five I picked in the end. Yeah, music is such a huge part of the new season. Like, the series branches out into, like, the metal influences of the 80s, the rock influences of the 80s, and even, like, the hip-hop influences of the 80s. It's fucking huge. Even hip-hop as well, like, when they go to... California, they've got
pass the Ducci on the left hand side.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's like that. Just like fucking make me watch fucking The Wedding Singer again. Why don't you? Fuck's sake. yeah, like, and it was. I think I suggested this to you when I actually rewatched episode 4, and I was like, there are so many better songs that they probably could have used here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I said to Sebastian, he's like, you know what? You know, if you haven't watched Stranger Things, please, you should have already left.
hit pause, go watch it, come back.
Yeah, come back. And let us know what you're going to choose. But, so, yeah, we're going to start off. And my first one is... One, Metallica. Fucking love that song.
Nice.
Especially it's on an album where it was mixed without bass.
Fucking A, really?
Uh-huh. And Justice for All is probably considered one of the worst metal albums, like in a compilation of all time. Like, it is the most memed metal album of all time. It's like, oh, I'm a Metallica fan. And then it comes up with, like, their favorite album, and it's And Justice for All. And then, like, everyone else, all the other albums, like Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, they're all there, like, with, like, the baseball bat and shit. Lining up on the airplane with the ball and chain, the baseball bat and the nail and fucking shit. But One is a clear standout in this album. And I'm pretty sure when we went to Fantasia, this song randomly played when I wasn't actually playing music. Because I used to play it so much in Fantasia on that Touch Tunes app that it actually remains on like most played on their favorite playlist, and that's what randomly plays when no one's chosen anything. That's how much I used to fucking play this song in that fucking place.
God damn.
And I just think out of all the other Metallica songs people would probably choose for like a list like this, I think, you know, I had to pick one that means something a little bit more to me. And I think this song is that. Like, you know, there's For Whom the Bell Tolls and all that kind of shit. Master of the Puppets is also in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, no, like, the choice for Hetfield not to sort of, like, growl the vocals or actually, like, play the song in a really heavy way, it's a standout for the band, and it's a standout for me, and I could... Like, if I listened to the, I could listen to this once and Vecna would just fuck off. It's like, oh, shit, he's playing one Metallica. I'll go find someone else.
Like, oh, shit, fuck.
You're going to be one of them jock kids, which is what he actually does.
Shit, this one doesn't work. Give me another one.
Got himself some takeout. But yeah, man, what's your first? These are in no particular order for me, by the way. Like,
yeah,
my last,
no,
my,
same.
My,
I just kind of wrote...
My last one isn't like the quintessential Vecna killing song. These are just, they're all on the same level of awesomeness.
I feel that. So for me, song number one is Sweet Child of Mine, Guns N' Roses. It's just that opening riff of... Like... It's such an identifiable song so quickly. And like for me, I have this really vague memory. So I'm not 100% sure if it's a real memory, but it's a memory that I associate with this fucking song. my dad has a bunch of old records, and I remember him playing a Guns N' Roses album, and this was the first song from Guns N' Roses that I ever heard.
Excuse me.
So this is the song that, you know, got me into Slash and, you know, more of their stuff, and kind of led me down the path of rock.
Shit. And that's awesome.
So it, it, it's It's a pretty intense song for me. And then, like, also low-key hearing it in the fucking Thor Love and Thunder trailer, that shit got me. That shit gave me goosebumps, dude. I was like, what? What is happening?
Taika Waititi, get out of my life.
For real, that motherfucker, like, just to kind of veer off for a second, how good does Thor Love and Thunder look?
The first trailer, I have to admit, did not get me erect at all. But the second trailer, it looks pretty fucking good. As long as Russell Crowe is the first god to feel the Necro Sword just plunge into his skull, I'll be good, because Russell Crowe can fucking do one.
Russell Crowe is to you what Hugh Jackman is to Dr. Cox.
I don't know why, though. I don't know why. I just look at him and it's like, you are a massive cunt. And I think, you know, low-key, Taika Waititi said the same. It's like, look, you know, if I'm going to get anyone to kill you, it's going to be the reformed cunt of Christian Bale.
Oh, shit.
I just want to tell you why Sweet Child of Mine isn't necessarily one of my favorite Guns N' Roses song. It is honestly ruined for me. But is it Step Bros? Is it Will Ferrell's brother who sings it in the car? No, John C. Reilly's brother. Because Will Ferrell ends up banging the wife.
No, you got him. No, you had it right. It's Ferrell has the brother, and Riley's the one
Yeah. So yeah, it's Will Ferrell's brother. He's singing it in the car with his sons, and his son and his daughter, and like his wife starts singing. It's like, not so good. Let's go from the top.
Yes.
She's got eyes, as it seems to me. I was like, shut the fuck up! You're ruining it. And I love Step Bros, but then like I know that moment's coming. I love the performance from the dickhead brother, because he's all, like there was a while there where all he was a dickhead, because I'm pretty sure he plays a dickhead in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty as well. But then you see him in Parks and Rec, and you're like, okay,
yeah,
redemption. Can't remember his name. Do you know his name?
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott. There we go. Yeah. And it's like, this man can, like, honestly, if it's comedy, he can play any role. Like, the lovable nerd, nailed. The bumbling idiot FBI guy who actually saves the day, nailed. The dickhead who actually has a little moment of redemption at the end, nailed.
Yep.
Honestly. Because he doesn't even go up to Will Ferrell at the end. He's like, good job, bro.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not him. It's the guy who gets his dick shot off in 21 Jump Street.
Rob Riggle.
Yeah.
The guy who gets his dick shot off.
He will never not be remembered as that character.
He's trying to pick his penis up with his mouth. Fuck, dude.
Fuck you, Doug. Who said that? Okay, second song, Unchained, Van Halen. Same reason as one.
Nice.
People would on this list would choose Jump, Panama, Hot for Teacher. I was like, nah, fuck that. I'm going to choose a song that's not even on that album. I'm going to choose Unchained.
Dude,
I think, like, the rise in Unchained. I think this is the same reason why they chose Running Up That Hill. At least the song, like, has, like, it builds to the crescendo, like the chorus feels warranted. It just doesn't come out of nowhere. And like you actually, like the good thing about that song is like when Max is fucking doing her best Usain Bolt impression, it's like, okay, please fucking make it. Like, although a little bit of me kind of, if she would have died, does that not add a bit of like
No one in this group has bit the bullet. They're always in peril, but all of them make it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing that Ozark does is, like, you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
And, like, no one, like, everyone just seems to be like, oh, we're all gonna die. Oh, look, we're all survived. Woo. But the evil is still there. Like, come on, man. I hope in these next two episodes, someone gets it.
Someone dies.
Someone's got to get it. Or if season five, at least, you know, one or two of them. And they have to stop adding characters to kill him off. And I swear to God, if Eddie doesn't make it, I might not watch season five, bro. Kill off that fucking sports guy first.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking the Malvi gobshite. He needs he needs to go. Literally watches Eddie not do anything, and then has the audacity in the next episode to go, he's been taken by the devil and can use his witchy powers. So come on, man. You literally watched him fuck off like a little bitch.
Yeah. Like, that. Honestly, that dude is like the embodiment of 80s testosterone. Holy shit.
He's the embodiment of Wolverines! Because he actually has that kind of moment.
Wolverines.
Tell me it's not. He's literally the leader of the Red Dawn, or whatever it's called.
He really is. Yeah. Well, no, they're called the Wolverines.
Yeah.
The name of the movie is Red Dawn.
Yeah. No, but I forgot, I did the Wolverines call, and I had to, that's Red Dawn, right? Because when I said it to my parents, I said Hunt for the Red October, and I was like, wait a minute.
Wait, Alec Baldwin's not in this movie?
Yeah. Neither is Sean Connery. Remember, 50 no's and a yes means yes. Yes. I recently learned that I'm the same personality type of Sean Connery, and I don't know what to do with that information.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a protagonist, apparently.
You're a protagonist.
I sent it to you. I don't know if you did it.
I haven't done it yet. I'm going to.
Yeah, you will be affected. You need to be in the right frame of mind to do this shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I feel like someone like you would definitely definitely read what your personality type is. And if you're if you've answered those questions accurately and truthfully, you'll be like, oh, shit. This website literally reads you like a book, bro. But they do help you. They'll send you emails to sort of what to do, now you know kind of thing. And it is really mm-hmm. helpful. And honestly, it's changed my life since knowing.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
Well,
because it literally tells you how you are in relationships and shit. And I was like, fuck, I am like that. But then it says it doesn't tell you how to counter it, but how to live how to live with it almost.
Mm-hmm.
It's very horoscopy. It's not mm-hmm. something you have to do. But if you do, try and, try and take it for what it's worth. But yeah, sorry, back to, it can't be a podcast without me rambling on something that isn't actually part of the podcast? Cockcast?
Podcast, podcast. Yes. Podcast, yes.
Dr. Rosenpenis.
What's your second son, man? Just fucking shut me up.
Right, so my next song is, I don't know what it is about this song. I feel like I have this weird psychic connection with it because it's such a, it's a cheesy song for how it always seems to play whenever I make a decision, a big fundamental decision.
Oh, shit.
For some reason. So that is Here I Go Again by Whitesnake.
On the every self-titled time, dude, album.
it's every fucking time, dude. If it's on the radio, it'll play after I do something. If I'm listening to music on my phone, it starts to play randomly, hit shuffle, and there it is, the first one, and you're just like, leave me the fuck alone. But also, it feels like the most appropriate song for the next move, when I got into Knife and I decided I was going to go, I remember
I'm glad you
I was doing I was doing an Uber ride. I was one of my first Uber rides, and I hit shuffle on my music, and it was the first thing that played. And I was like,
Oh, God. It's following me.
Well, maybe now that I'm your partner, it should change to just the two of us. Make it if we try.
If we try, just the two of us. You and I.
No, good song, no, though. Good song.
Like, I couldn't hit that bass note even if I wanted. Like, my voice doesn't go that low.
It's so annoying. I have a confession to make.
Oh, God, what?
I didn't know of Whitesnake until I listened to 1984 by Bowling for Soup.
Oh, really?
And there's the line of, she was going to shake her ass on the hood of Whitesnake's car.
Whitesnake's car.
And I was like, who the fuck are Whitesnake? And then
who the fuck is Whitesnake?
Yeah. Forgive me, I was like 12, bro. Like,
yeah, no, yeah, of course.
I was listening to Uncle Cracker and watching Too Fast, Too Furious every weekend. I watched Too Fast, Too Furious a lot when I was younger. Like, maybe more than any child should have. But at the same time, I was playing Need for Speed Most Wanted. You know,
cars were on the mind.
Yeah, cars were on the mind. Like, it's funny how, like, you know, I'm an adult now, and I was like, I don't even fucking drive, bro.
Dude, those fucking, the Fast and the Furious movies did something really fucked up to me. Because, like, I remember when I got my license, I was like, okay, how do I start racing?
And how, like, do I stop racing? How do I stop racing?
Like, I remember...
Yeah, but wasn't your first car, like, your absolute baby? Mustang. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, Ford Mustang. And I was like, I remember when I got the car, I was like, fuck, I really need to get into racing. But, like, the car was stick shift, so I was like, fuck, I need to learn how to drive this fucking thing.
So you watched the first Fast and Furious, like, this shit's set in L.A. Does race wars actually exist?
Like, oh, fuck. I got a need for speed, and that's when I didn't know it was from Top Gun.
No, you needed to find your Hector. He's got 500 Civics, all kitted with Nitro Boost.
Dude, oh my God, dude, this is probably the stupidest thing I ever asked my dad. But I remember when I got the car, and I was like, I wanted to like, you know, soup it up. I wanted to like make it look nice, really personalize the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to my dad about it. He was like, okay, we were kind of talking about it. And I was like, okay, cool. It's fine. We'll think about doing it. And then my dumbass, it's like, hey, do you think we could put Nas in the car? He was like, what the fuck are you talking about? No. So all the others, everything else just got thrown out the fucking window. Cause you knew right then and there what I wanted to do with the car.
First, oh no. It just ended. I don't know why.
Oh shit. Hold on. Wait. Calling back. Fuck. Come on.
Okay, we're back.
Okay. What the fuck was that?
Oh, no. It's not connected to my headphones now.
Okay. It's all good.
Yo, my headphones started this call. I imagine my headphones ended it. My headphones heard you wanted Nos on your car and was like, even my headphones said no.
But like, Jesus Christ, he saw right through me. He was like, no, you're out of your fucking mind.
Okay, I've just noticed we're on 42 minutes and I've got one blob left on my H6 zoom and I don't know what to do if that ends. So I've got Rainbow in the Dark, Dio, as my next song.
Nice.
So as soon as you said or confirmed to me that 80s were the songs, I was like, I've got to put a Dio song in because Eddie Munson wears the Dio jacket, right?
Yeah.
That is actually Dio's jacket.
Are you serious?
I'm not joking.
Dude, that's so sick.
I don't know how his entourage or his family or his compound heard that the Duffer Brothers were including Dio to a certain extent in the new series. Mm-hmm. Maybe the production designer or the costume was like told to make the Dio jacket. It was like, I know how to get an authentic one. And they actually got the authentic Dio jacket. What a lovely fucking touch to not only the man himself,
mm-hmm.
But like just an ode to, honestly, the god of heavy metal. Like, it.
Yeah.
The British will say that Black Sabbath started heavy metal. The Americans will say Dio started heavy metal. And honestly, that is like, that's a great conversation. That isn't Black Sabbath saying they're better than Dio or Dio saying they're Black Sabbath. Mm-hmm. That is actually, I'll buy you a pint, you buy me a pint. Let's talk about our great Dio. Let's talk about how great Dio was. Let's talk about how great Black Sabbath were.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's one of my favorite photos of all time is Dio and Lemmy, like cheersing a beer backstage after an event or something, and like I think it was like the year Lemmy died. And it's like two legends in heaven sharing a pint. I was like, I know for fucking damn sure they are. Like when there's like on that stage it's probably like Elvis and fucking Prince. I know there's a fucking back door in heaven, and that's where fucking Lemmy and fucking Dio are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm going. So fuck this front stage shite. I want to go through there.
Back. Yep.
And just Rainbow in the Dark is just one of those songs, like, why it hasn't actually been used in the series yet. I know there's that promo of Eddie playing the guitar, not like in the Upside Down. And I think music is actually being used as a red herring. And if you watch the series again, like, Vecna passes out because he doesn't know his limits. Actually has nothing to do with music. So I think they're going to try and use music and it's going to be like, oh shit, this hasn't worked. And then that's where someone's going to die. And honestly, probably, like, as much as I love him, it might be Eddie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that same feeling.
Yeah, he's got Super Bob written all over him.
Oh yeah. Fuck me.
But he's like, he's playing some song and please don't make it be some fucking bullshit. Like this, like For Whom the Bell Tolls is something you could use. But yeah, I like, honestly, he wears that jacket. It's gotta be Rainbow in the Dark or Holy Diver. Like I was gonna use Holy Diver, but then I was like, maybe a few too many people know Holy Diver. But Rainbow in the Dark is just one of those songs that when you listen to it, it's like, yep, this, like, Dio's been through some shit. And this is a song for people who've been through some shit and want to use metal to get through that shit. And that, honestly, this is what I put headphones on. Fuck you, Vecna. Dio. That's what fucking Jack Black uses against the devil. Mm-hmm. Like, he asks Dio to help fight the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Dio has fought Vecna before and won. I imagine this song would also be on Jack Black's list if he had to do this.
I can see that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
one of the gods, one of the greats. Beers for you, Dio.
There you go. Right. So
imagine. Right. Your third.
So my next one is quite a departure from rock, actually.
Oh no! I don't want to hear it. I'm gonna leave. And you can tell the audience and like, nah, go on, tell me.
So for me, it's "Billie Jean" by Michael Jackson. It is, I could honestly say probably my favorite Michael Jackson song, and like, you know, for me, I think the '80s, he's very much synonymous with it, and like, it's not "Beat It," it's not "Thriller," and like, I have this. There's a song, this specific song, I remember being a kid, hearing the song, trying to do the moonwalk, and quit shaking your head at me!
Because I just puked a little. In my mouth.
You motherfucker. You fucking asshole.
In some cultures, they only eat puke. I've never been there, but I've read about it. In a book. No, continue. Billie Jean, Michael Jackson. You let me speak, I'll let you speak. Just, I'm not happy. Because this was going great, you ruined it.
Fuck you! I told you it's gonna be. There was a variety.
No, I didn't mean variety of shite.
It's a good song. Fuck you.
It's a good song. Fuck you. But actually, my last song will probably, you'll probably be like, huh? All right. Sorry. I'll shut up. I'll mute myself. Fuck it. You can mute me. You're the one that edits the fucking podcast.
Yeah, but when the interaction's fucking funny, I leave it.
Yeah. Okay. So, Billie Jean, you were trying to learn the moonwalk?
Yeah, it was so bad. It was god awful. I was like, how? How does this fucking guy do this shit? I mean, he's not the one who invented it, first off. Mm. Like, there were plenty of people doing that shit before. Mm-hmm. He liked it, he took it, and, you know, he made it popular.
He perfected it.
But, like, yeah, exactly. But, like, this, you know, compared to his other songs, especially on the Thriller album, I connect more with this song for some reason. Like, Thriller's fine, and, like, it's good. You know, it's got Vincent Price on it and shit. Beat It's only good because of the fucking guitar.
Yeah,
and
true.
Fucking Eddie Van Halen's guitar on Beat It is great.
Yeah.
But Billie Jean as like a story in a song, I fucking love.
Yeah. All right, fair play.
Yeah.
All
right,
cool.
All right, bro. What's your number two?
My number two?
Yeah.
I've got one song crossed out here, and I think I'm going to have to replace it with the song that's not crossed out because I love the band. Like, I love the other band more. So that's why I'm going to switch. Tom Sawyer, Rush.
Nice.
Days Tom Sawyer's got a price on you. Like, fucking...
Nice.
I just... I did have to look to see what year 2012 came out, though. 2112. Because that is just one of the finest albums of all time. Like, Train to Budapest. Like, let's be serious now. That's 1976. But Tom Sawyer... isn't that a time jump for season five? They've already said so. I think so. They've lost their chance to play Great Rush. I mean, even Steven Spielberg is like, okay, like if we're not going to include 2112 in Ready Player One, we need something to tell the book fans that. Like, Steven Spielberg is the person to do this movie. And you know he agreed to use Tom Sawyer. So, okay. I remember hearing that in the trailer for Ready Player One, and I was like,
yeah,
all right, I see you. And I'm a fan of the movie, and I'm a fan of the book. I'm a fan of the movie because I like to make fucking movies. But I can read the book and know that, like, it's just undoable as a movie.
Yeah.
But Tom Sawyer's like, you hear it once, and it's definitely one of those songs you have to replay almost immediately. Because of just how fucking good that opening is. Holy fuck. I would start listening to a song, and fucking, even Vecna's like, fucking shit, what are you listening to, bro? Take my headphones off me, listens to it himself, and just kills himself. That's how great Tom Sawyer is. Even like, oh, okay, cool, if this song exists, then I don't.
It's so fucking good.
It is so fucking good.
It transports you, honestly, when you listen to it.
Oh yeah, that's what Rush do. They transport you, and this is the first song on the Moving Pictures album, and it's just like, okay, I'm in for a fucking ride.
Oh yeah,
I'm in for some fucking good music, and I'm in for a good time. It's just annoying that every album after this is like they did too much music in the 80s, man. Had they sort of stopped and looked and sort of really taken in like who they were and what they were as a band, they'd have so much more of a legacy now.
Yeah.
I mean, Neil Peart is one of the greatest fucking drummers of all time, like, but I think just as a band, they kind of overdid it. But to start off like what was probably like their last great album, unfortunately, for me. With Tom Sawyer, holy shit! Just for those that are interested, the other song was "Head Like a Hole" by Nine Inch Nails.
Nice.
That's only because I feel like that song, like "Crawling," doesn't exist without "Head Like a Hole." Because "Crawling" by Linkin Park starts with that sort of swirling drain noise, before it kicks in. And something similar with Head Like a Hole. It's almost like the song finishes and, like, if it was to play again, you wouldn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it has that sort of loop mentality to it. But I just think, like, I was just looking at it now, I was like, what do Nine Inch Nails mean to me over Rush? I was like, no, not that much. Like, mm-hmm. It's not just the song, it's also the band. Like, in all of these songs I've chosen, it's the band as well as the song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it has to be. Like, it can't just, like, your favorite song can't just be a song. Like, mm-hmm. even Max says it, like, what if Kate Bush's words don't, like, mean the same, or if I get bored of the song. I was like, bitch is right.
Yeah.
I've had plenty of favorite songs in my life where I listen to it now and I'm like, ugh, no.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
And, you know, it happens. It's natural. You know, we learn.
And you
evolve,
you know, tastes. Yeah, exactly. Your tastes evolve. Everything just kind of changes around you. And that's not a bad thing.
No. But, like, I imagine, like, all five of these songs to the day I die.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. All right, bro. So.
Your fourth.
So, for me, it's I'm Still Standing, Elton John.
I'm still standing. I knew this was going to be here.
Like, I don't know how or when.
This is your Fantasia,
like,
song.
Honestly, I don't know when the fuck that happened. I really don't. But, like, there's...
It was the movie. The movie awoke this song in you for me.
You think?
Yeah.
That tracks. But, like, it's become that go-to reminder whenever I feel like...
Life
just
is too much.
Absolute shit. I'm just so fucking down. It helps. Like, I'll especially if I'm driving. Like, I'll stick it on, and I'll sing, and I'll sing till my fucking my throat's just scratchy and
hoarse,
hurting, because it just lets me let go of a lot of shit. I don't know how that it became that song, but that's the song. You know, I feel like everyone has that song that when you listen to it, you're listening to it because you know you need to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this song has become for me. It just blows my fucking mind that this is the song. Oh, right. Final song.
Final song.
Lean on Me.
Bonded by Blood. Exodus.
Fuck.
The only reason you might know this song exists is because of Cobra Kai.
That tracks. Honestly, I feel like that tracks.
It's what Paul Walthauser's listening to when he comes in the latest season. And his brother, PJ Brine, of all people, is like, look, mm-hmm. you're playing like some Metallica or some shit. Actually, it was Exodus, Bonded by Blood, but, like, I wouldn't expect you to know that. And me and my dad just looked at each other when me and him watched the series, because I know me and you watched it before. When me and my dad watched the series, we're like, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
But it's like, there's two bands back in the day that started mm-hmm. off the thrash metal scene. And one of them was Metallica and one of them was Exodus. And Metallica, they used thrash metal as a piggyback. They didn't stay thrash.
Yeah.
They aren't thrash anymore. I wouldn't even go as far as to say they're even metal anymore. They're just hard rock.
Yeah.
But, like, and they have definitely forgotten their roots. But they used to play music loud. And for whatever reason, they became more popular than Metallica. But Exodus was mm-hmm. that Exodus was that band that, like, if you need to speak to someone. You need to find someone that went to an Exodus gig back in the day where, like, you know, they used actual blood on stage. They'd actually, like, they'd get into the crowd and fuck shit up. Like some mm-hmm. pubs wouldn't, like, not some pubs, well, some, like, clubs or some shit wouldn't allow them to play because they knew, like, they'd fuck the place up.
Yeah.
They'd come in, they'd drink all the whiskey, the audience would drink all the beer, there'd be fights, people would get hurt. And there's, like, I'm pretty sure there was, like, there was a house within, like, the San Francisco area like where they all used to go and congregate, kind of like the Motley Crue house, like round the corner from Whiskey Go Go. It was kind of like that.
Yeah,
there was the house I'd go to, and it was like it was a shithole. You'd look at it and you'd think you'd think no one would live there, and there was just something about like. I wish there's only one song in my entire life, if I could be transported there and to see it live, it would be I want to be a part of the audience that heard this song live. Mm-hmm. Like it acts like there's lyrics within the song of like what it means to be metal, like when nothing else is the same, you break the chair and metal is there.
Fuck.
And you know what happened? The singer, as great as he was, you know what he did? Drank himself to an early grave.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah, that's what they do. And honestly, I think it was when he saw that Metallica were becoming something more than just a thrash metal band. And I bet you he liked the camaraderie of like, you know, it's not me versus you. It's me and you.
Yeah,
it's us, and then everyone else seemed to go away. The audience grew up. The new audience wasn't coming in, and it took his death to sort of reawaken the thrash scene, with Anthrax and a few other bands back in the day. But
yeah,
this band started one of the greatest movements in metal history. Within the 80s, and honestly, fuck me. I know you're not a fan of metal, but like, you know, go away for me. I'll listen to Billie Jean. You listen to Bonded by Blood.
All right, bet.
Yeah, because like honestly, I didn't realize how much this song meant to me when I was finding it, and it was the easiest song to put on this list. The other four.
Yo, same. My last one, same.
Yeah, the other four was like, okay, cool. I've come across these. I can add them on, but like this, this one was like I knew. Like even though I said like all five are at the same level, it was that last one. I was like, it's got to be something that is like,
yeah,
like powerful. Like every beat, the rhythm, the melody, the lyrics. The meaning behind the lyrics, the substance, and sort of what the like not just what this song means to the band, but like sort of what this song means to me, what this song means to like the metal movement that has always been ostracized and forgotten and cast aside. That's and if they hadn't had metal been like agreed upon by the masses, this song wouldn't exist. It took metal being the outside genre to breed, to give birth to songs like this. Yeah, man,
I agree.
Bonded by Blood, I'm playing it in my head right now, man. What's your final song, bro? I'm expecting a good one.
So my last song is Wanted Dead or Alive, Bon Jovi.
Nice.
It is.
I asked and I received head.
like this song, dude. I don't know what it is about it. I remember it was, I will forever associate it with my Mustang because I remember the first time I was taking like just a long drive. I don't remember where it was going.
On a steel horse you ride.
It's just I'd never pictured myself in the song so vividly.
Oh, wow.
Like just the opening notes of the song. I remember I would sit in the driver's seat and hand on the clutch, hand on the steering wheel, staring out and just feeling the car. Like it's so different. Like I don't know if, you know, for people who don't drive stick, you know, stick's automatic, it is such a different fucking experience because it is you are in complete control of the car. And there's a moment for me when I first heard this song, I was going God knows where, but I felt connected to my car. Like, I like the rumble when I would press on the gas, and like how the feeling of slowing down and everything, and being able to tell when to change gear, just feeling it, not thinking about it, not having to look at anything, but just feeling it and feeling how amazing and how fucking free I felt. And then just having Bon Jovi as my fucking soundtrack, dude. Oh, it was without a doubt best feeling in the fucking world.
Yeah.
It's just great. And I remember when I would drive in this car and I listened to this song, I felt like such a fucking badass, dude. Like, I can't think of another time where I felt just so fucking cool, even though I would from the outside look like such a fucking dork.
Yo.
But I was like, fuck it, I don't care. It was so cool.
Fuck it, fuck them, fuck this, fuck that. I'm in my element. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You're there. You
this
do,
is
you
my
do,
shit.
You do you, boo-boo.
Absolutely. So yeah, Wanted, Dead or Alive. Vecna, try it, motherfucker. I dare you.
Yo, I know we ask people for likes, comments, and ideas, but like, mm-hmm. honestly, if you know me and Sebastian personally and you listen to the podcast, I'm not going to name you or call you out. Like, please pop up. Let us know what mm-hmm. your like fighting Vecna songs are. And like, maybe we can mention a few good ones next week.
Yeah,
or like
absolutely.
Next, you know, next time we go to record, because I don't like, I know people listen to, my friends listen to the podcast, but it's not immediate. But like, mm-hmm. you know, when you do, if you do, let me know, let Sebastian know. Yeah. And you know, and honestly, I'd like to shout out some good ones, because literally music is, it's, if you, I don't know what you do if you don't listen to music, man.
I have no idea. I really don't.
That's what I love about music. Like, even when I meet new people, like, it's one of the first songs. Like, I know this is pretty corny, but like, what do you listen to? Mm-hmm. And it makes me laugh when they say I listen to everything. I was like, oh cool, let me play some Venom for you. And it's like, oh no, don't listen to that. It's like, but don't say you listen to everything then, bruv. I lost a lot of Tinder dates that way.
Yeah, I listen to a bit of everything.
What, a bit of Maroon 5, a bit of Coldplay, a bit of Mariah Carey. Yeah, listen to Bonded by Blood by Exodus for me. Yeah, you listen to this, do you? Listen to this, do you?
Do you?
So, like, you know, I challenge me a little bit. But like,
yeah.
You know, but like, honestly, I do. Like, you've seen some of my playlists. You know how you mm-hmm. know my variety is a spice of life.
Oh no, yeah. There's an intensity and like a level of connection that I genuinely am jealous of.
That's just because, like, I don't know what it is. Sometimes I feel more connected to music than I do to movies and shit. But
mm-hmm.
that's because like 50% of everything is sound.
Yeah,
you know, you mm-hmm. you hear before you see when you're a baby. You hear before you see when you wake up in the morning. You're more likely to wake up because of sounds than you are sights. That's because your eyes are fucking closed.
It's true.
Very true. You could be lost in the moment when you're making love with your girl, but you know when it's good because you know you hear a little moan. You hear that shit. And it's like sound. Mm-hmm. Sound is everything. And when you are making love, we've all got that one song that, you know, we've done it to, and we're a little bit proud that we've done it to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done it to Kid Cudi, and I'm like, fuck yeah, you know. But then I've also done it to Linkin Park. Fuck yeah.
There you go.
It was, you know, two different broads, not the same one. But yeah, it's like, you know, music will always be there.
Yeah.
It was there before us, it'll be there after us, and it makes me a little bit upset some of the songs I'll never ever get to hear.
Yeah.
But as long as I'm alive, like, I feel like it's my duty to try everything at least once, man. I know some people mm-hmm. have heard my songs compared to your songs, and have gone, oh, Sebastian's songs are a little bit more my flavor than Ed's. But, just, you know, don't write me off.
Yeah.
Don't write off metal just because you don't like it, or it's a bit loud, or it doesn't make sense to me. That's why metal exists, because sometimes nothing makes sense.
Like there's generally a lot of stuff that you've listened to that I've never really listened to, but like I'll listen to it when with you and like I get it, and I feel it.
You get it because I get it.
Yeah.
And so, and I'll share with you why I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I doubt you ever really listened to Slipknot the way I listened to Slipknot. But then one day I played you Duality, and then I played you Snuff. And I was like, do you think that's the same band? And you were like, no, but it is.
Yeah, that blows my mind.
It's like, would you have never listened to the versatility of metal bands
just...
Sorry.
Blows me away.
You would have never listened to Clutch without me. And you know one of my favorite songs of all time is Spacegrass. Jesus on the dashboard. Yeah. I remember exactly where I was when you heard that first. We were going from Griddle Cafe to the LA Market. And I was like, Sebastian, listen to this. Like, and Clutch, if you do like a bit of the wacky backy, Clutch is very much a
wacky backy.
You know, the devil's lettuce, which my dad said sounds like a prostitute's pussy. My dad's great. But honestly, I feel like, in hindsight, my dad should have been on this podcast with us, because I am only into his music as he is. I'm literally looking at the wall of vinyl he has put up in his office.
Dude, holy shit, and that looks so sick.
On this wall is Queen, Van Halen, The Stone Roses, Rancid, Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, Hawkwind, Venom, Savatage, AC/DC, Bathory, Radiohead, DRI, and Bowie.
Fucking A.
This is why I'm into music. My dad.
Yep. Hang on.
I'm gonna get a special for you guys.
Oh God, it's a special, you guys. I guess I'll narrate this. Ed's left the room. It's quiet. I'm alone on the mic. He needs someone. Someone's being summoned.
Sebastian, shut up. I can hear you.
Oh, yeah, I'm narrating.
I need you to come here for the podcast. I'm talking about why music means so much to me.
Right, yeah.
And it's because of you.
Okay.
And I need you to choose your Vecna battle song.
My Vecna battle song.
Yeah.
Okay, we need an intro, bro. Give us a little intro, bro.
So this is Jonathan Holstead, aka Joe, and as my friend likes to call him, Mr. Joe.
Mr. Joe.
And he is the king of music.
He's but right now he's
yes, special anyway. Guest.
He has no idea why he's here. He was happily watching England be shit at football, and now he's on the podcast.
He's given up on the cricket, so the football. He's now watching the cricket, which is much more exciting.
Oh, that's a bit weird, because cricket is definitely a lot more boring than football, people. He's looking at his wall of vinyl.
He is.
There is definitely a song being chosen off the wall.
Yep.
If you can pick an 80s song, because that was the stipulation for
the list. This has got to be from the 80s. Any song as long as it's from the 80s.
On My Way Home.
So I imagine the mic picked that up, but DRI... On My Way Home.
Nice.
And it's like, honestly, that is probably the most eclectic song we'll have on this list.
Probably.
Thank you, Pops.
No problem. Thank you, everybody.
They say thank you back.
Thank you. All right, that was cool.
There we are, guys. Mr. Joe.
Oh, man. I can't think of a better way to wrap it up. How do we top that?
There is no better way. Mr. Joe.
Mr. Joe, everyone. Fuck. Well, we're back. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, share us. We have over 300 listens, so we know people are listening.
Yo, so whilst I was away, we had 100 listens?
We crossed the 300 threshold. I didn't even notice it until I looked at it today because I was curious.
Because I'm pretty sure last time we recorded, it was the 200 listen special.
No, we were at, I think We were a little under 300. I think we were at like 280 or something, but now we're at 320. But still.
If we get 400 more.
Yeah, why the fuck not? I would love that.
Like, you know, 320 plus 100.
Yeah, no, I know. I would love that.
I think we all would. Okay, but yeah, there it is, folks. We'll see you next week. We'll be back on the ball now because I've got no holidays planned.
Alrighty. All right.
Actually, you know what?
Oh,
God. Let's make it a 2-episode special. Let's do an off the
cuff. Oh, no.
Let's do an off the cuff episode for this weekend.
Okay. Sounds good. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Next week we'll be off the cuff.
Off?
Yeah. There you
go. The cuff.
Right?
It is off the cuff, and we'll see you next time.
On this trip, now I'm like rolling out the script.
Come on, man, come join us on the trip.
I'm sorry,
now we're throwing out the script.
I hope you don't charge a penny. I hear the weakness calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.